is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Selena Zito, writing the Middle of Somewhere column for the Washington Examiner. We're going to take a trip with Selena, a driving trip, sometimes on Route 20, which I learned from Selena is the longest road in America, stretching from the East Coast to the West Coast, going through a number of states where Selena carefully explicates how people are living now, the way we live now in small-town America. We're going to begin in Ottawa, Ohio, because that's where Selena filed her piece, Observing Small-Town America. Ottawa, Ohio, I learned, thanks to Selena's reporting, has 4,300, nearly 4,400 residents. It's got a relatively very low unemployment compared to the rest of the country, and these numbers are changing all the time. The median house is $50,000. The median income is $50,000 a year. The median house is $161,000, and it's a relatively young town at 38 years average. So, Selena, take us to Ottawa, Ohio. This looks, in comparison to the rest of America, to be doing very well. Is that accurate? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Thanks so much for having me. All of small town America, there's this sort of refreshing aspect of it. As soon as you, when you drive from town to town, it almost welcomes you, in particular along its main streets. And most of US 20 is the main street for the towns that it goes through. So there's always, you know, some sort of sense of it welcoming you with, you know, there's always American flags hanging from the telephone poles and flower pots. And often you find memorials to men and women who served anywhere from World War I all the way up to the current conflicts hanging also from these telephone poles. So it does have this welcoming sense to you. There's also challenges for smaller towns. They don't get the influx of people that you get in a larger city, although they have had a better resurgence, I believe, based on my experiences, than larger cities because people felt more comfortable walking in these open spaces. So there is a mix. There certainly was a step backwards during the virus, but there's also been a step forward over larger cities because people feel more comfortable in wide open spaces.
Is Ottawa prosperous? Can you use that word for small town America? Can you tell, Selena, you go to so many?
Well, you know, it depends on your definition of prosperous. For them, they see their town as being able to hold its own. And I think that's the best a small town can do these days because of the challenges it faces, which is, you know, a small hardware store to begin with. They have to have earned the loyalty of the residents for them to go to their hardware store as opposed to Walmart or Target, because those places have the larger big box stores offer the same items that they want at a cheaper price. But Americans have an appetite now for being very local with their shopping. The pandemic certainly has had that impact. So the small businesses benefit from that. Americans also have an appetite of avoiding buying anything from China. So these small towns also benefit from that. So I would say in that sense, prosperity is in their favor.
We're going to take a drive now with Selena, leaving New York and traveling all the way to Chicago. She observes in her most recent column that a national correspondent made remarks about Chicago and Detroit, traveling to the Midwest, but only the large cities, which all of us who live in large cities know are not representative of small-town America. I grew up in a small town called Narberth, Pennsylvania, outside of Philadelphia. And I understand what Selena remembers about living in small town America and illustrates. I remember the 4th of July parades. It was a very big deal. And then the fireworks afterwards. Can't find that same understanding in small, in large cities. So we're going to start our 21 hour and 18 minute trip. This is Selena's reporting. I've never done this drive. In Jim Thorpe, Pennsylvania, in the, surrounded by the Pisgah Ridge. It used to be called Mauch Chunk, but it was renamed for the very famous football, basketball, baseball athlete, Jim Thorpe. Population 4,600 and 58,000 is the average income. 131,000 is the average house price. And it's a little older than Ottawa. It's 43 years old. Selena, does Jim Thorpe qualify as a big, small town? How do you rate these in your mind?
I would call it a medium-sized small town. It's an incredibly gorgeous town. It's only 100 miles outside of the city of New York. And it has done an excellent job of preserving its very interesting architecture. It's almost like going into a little Switzerland. The architecture at times is almost 200 years old. And it's very ornate. And then with the background of the mountains, it's just really hard to compare this with any other small town because it's so gorgeous. And back when they changed the name to Jim Thorpe, this was because, this is why I love the ingenuity of small town civic leaders. You know, they were trying to find a way to attract people to come to their town, and a gimmick, if you will. So this is an era of P.T. Barnum. And so when, Jim Thorpe's widow was, looking for a town that would name the town after him and take his remains. He was from Oklahoma, but Jim Thorpe did attend school at the Carlisle School, a couple hundred miles away in Pennsylvania. And she struck a deal with them. They changed the name from Mauch Chunk to Jim Thorpe. He is buried there. The Supreme Court even came down on keeping his burial there when his son tried to move it. But the long story short, these small towns find ways, whether it's roadside oddities or changing their name, anything to get people to come to their town and enjoy it and maybe even eventually decide to reside there.
We're moving on. We're driving with Selena, and we're going to what at one time was a major port city, I learned from Selena, Ashtabula, Ohio. Again, the statistics reveal something about it. It's a population of 1,800. It's got 28,000 is the average income, so modest for Pennsylvania, for Ohio. 54,000 is the average home, again, very modest, and the age is 38. Now, Selena, you say this was a great port city once upon a time. What does it look like now? I got the impression it's a small version of Erie.
Yeah, exactly. And it's right across the state line from Erie. And it was a major port town, but it was also a major manufacturing town. It boomed from the industrial age, all the way through to the 1960s and then crashed as automation and trade deals began to chip away at the opportunities available there. It is now trying to sort of transform into a tourist region. It has it's considered the sort of Pennsylvania, Ohio wine country, and people are probably snubbing their nose as they hear that, but the wines in Pennsylvania and Ohio along that sort of Niagara region is very famous and known for its wines because the conditions, the soil and the temperatures and the climate are very similar to the south of France, which is very well known for its wines. There's also more covered bridges in Ashtabula County than any other place in the country. So it is very picturesque, but it is struggling to find out what's next for this town and this county. It has been racked by poverty. It has been racked by problems with the opioid epidemic. And it is trying very hard to remake itself as a rural tourist destination. And it is quite lovely, especially along Lake Erie. The beaches are gorgeous.
I'm speaking with Selena Zito, the Middle of Somewhere column for the Washington Examiner. You can find these illustrations of Small Town America at selenazito.com. Small Town America does not miss out on the troubles of large city America, crime and despair. And when we come back, we're going to a small town in Illinois, Ford Heights. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.